From Washington, this is Talking Tax. I'm Naomi Jagoda. Every year, the IRS releases what it calls the Dirty Dozen. It's a list of 12 potentially abusive arrangements that the IRS wants taxpayers to steer clear of. Recently, the IRS has decided to step up its efforts to discover these types of issues before they take hold. Early this year, it launched the Joint Strategic Emerging Issues Team, or JSITE, which brings together experts from across the agency to identify new areas where there's a high risk of noncompliance. Today, you'll hear from two IRS officials who are part of this new prevention-focused team. Benjamin Swartz is a senior advisor to the Commissioner for the Small Business Self-Employed Division, while Holly Porter is Associate Chief Counsel for Pass-Throughs and Special Industries. I talked to them about how JSITE works and about how it identifies potentially problematic tax transactions.
One of the things that we like people to understand about the team is that the IRS has a lot of expertise across a number of different specialties and transactions, but it's a really big organization. And so those folks that know the different technical aspects of different parts of the law, they're spread amongst a bunch of different divisions. And so what JSITE is trying to do is create an opportunity for us to bring together people with those different specialties and knowledge into one place to better identify and develop new emerging tax issues.
And I'll add to what Ben has said in that the team is collaborative and all together at once. So what we are doing, we have been doing, but the importance of JSITE is to do it quickly. So whereas people would find the expert they needed eventually over time and start working an issue, right now we have everybody in the room who needs to be talking about it and deciding, yes, this is something we need to be working at.
Which departments within the IRS are participating in this, and why is it so important to have participation from those various departments?
We have participants from all across the Internal Revenue Service and Chief Counsel. We have Small Business Self-Employed, Large Business International, tax-exempt and government entities, wage and investment. We have criminal investigations involved, the Office of Fraud Enforcement, the Office of Promoter Investigations, really trying to bring everybody from our division to the table. And the reason why it's so important is because the skill sets and the resources of all of these different functions can come together to most effectively deal with issues that the IRS needs to take action on. If we leave somebody out, then we wouldn't really be bringing together all of the possible skill sets that we want to have to make sure that we can take care of these issues quickly.
Right. So much of the JSITE goal is to help taxpayers on compliance issues, whereas we are finding that taxpayers can look online at different transactions, different structures, and say, hey, maybe I should be doing something like that. The idea for JSITE is to get the word back out to practitioners and taxpayers. Hey, we're looking at these issues. Maybe this is something that you should consider getting involved in or should consider not getting involved in. So much of what we are doing is trying to message the transactions that we're looking at.
Ben, I wanted to see if you could talk a little bit about what value this has for small business and self-employed. And then for Holly, why is it important to have chief counsel involved in this?
The value for small business self-employed is similar to the value that the other divisions, I think, get out of being members of JSITE. And that is, some of these transactions are complex. Most of them really are complex. And they may cross different divisions' expertise. And so having the opportunity to work with partners from other parts of the IRS in a really intentional and upfront way gives us the chance to bring our expertise to the table and also get their expertise at the table so that we can have those conversations together. Like Holly mentioned, we do this now, but JSITE provides a more intentional way of getting that to happen quickly and with everybody together.
So from the chief counsel side, so many of transactions come into our awareness in different ways. So for example, a chief counsel attorney may be at a panel and somebody may come up and say, hey, I've been hearing about this transaction. A colleague is doing this. What do you think about it? And so for us to be a part of the larger organization, we can bring in transactions that we're hearing that may not yet be seen on audit. Also, with us involved in the mix early on, if people are seeing transactions in audit, we can quickly bring them to our group and hear from us saying, okay, that one probably is okay, that one probably isn't okay, but it gets us right in there. Also saying, hey, you should be asking this or looking for this, or these are the types of information you should be trying to develop to see what this transaction is.
What are some of the common types of potentially abusive transactions that the team has encountered, and what types of transactions do you guys want the IRS to prioritize?
The second question is easier. We're prioritizing the ones that are emerging that are across our organization, so affect many, many divisions that are easily replicable and easily kind of can blow up. The idea of JSITE is to try and stop transactions before they become prevalent and taken up by taxpayers when they are wrong. We find for resource purposes, it's easier to say, hey, let's advise people not to go that direction now, rather than trying to litigate it at the other end when many, many taxpayers have picked it up. So for us, those are the transactions we're trying to key in now early on.
I think by way of example, some of the transactions that people are very well aware of now, we can talk about things like syndicated conservation easements and micro-captive insurance transactions. These are things that have been in the news and the IRS has talked about quite a lot. Our goal would be to discover those issues earlier before taxpayers have a chance to get involved and be able to do something to alert the public that this is an issue that might not work. This is an issue that we want people to think about before they get involved with. We also, in this year's Dirty Dozen list from the IRS, we listed a number of transactions out there that we are looking at to see if we need to take further action. And we may take further enforcement action for those transactions. So those are some examples of the type of issues that we may be discussing.
And to your first question, we're not limiting right now the scope of what we're looking at. You can see that it could get quite broad. I'm almost afraid to even mention anything, but there's emerging issues that are not necessarily transactions. That's something that JSITE's going to look at. We are not yet sure of kind of how broad the scope is, but what is important to us is we're finding that we are also a communication vehicle. So even if it's not a transaction that JSITE might consider what we would do with it, at least we're bringing people together to talk about the issue. They may form working groups and discuss issues that they don't necessarily become an issue that we as our group handle, but somebody, we are getting that communication to others to start talking about.
You had mentioned conservation easements. I know that's been a big priority of the IRS. How much attention is the task force giving to that issue right now?
Syndicated conservation easement is probably what we would consider an emerged issue and not emerging. So that's not really where our focus is. Our focus is on the issues that are early and maybe still developing, not necessarily on the ones that are kind of already out there.
Remember, JSITE has a very particular purpose, and we are working to identify transactions. We're working to recommend transactions we should be looking at, but the rest of the IRS and Chief Counsel operate as it has, and so we are a means of communication and collaboration and discussion, but then we stop. Our work gets pushed back out to the organizations that would handle them in their resources that they normally would bring to bear on these issues. We are just a communication feature. How else would we describe it? That is really, we have a singular purpose, but the rest of the organization continues to work. So conservation easements, you know, those are being found in audit. They're being worked by a lot of divisions. That runs their course.
Are you guys looking at any cryptocurrency-related transactions?
I don't think that we can say much about cryptocurrency right now from a JSITE perspective.
To what extent is the task force examining issues relating to pandemic relief programs and potentially fraud in those programs?
The JSITE is looking at the issues that are coming forward and being brought forward to us. That could be across a range of different issues, anywhere from new issues that are coming from virtual currency-related things, that are coming from pandemic-related things. But there isn't necessarily a particular issue that I think that we can discuss today on either of those topics.
With the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRS is getting an extra $80 billion in funding. How might that enhance JSITE's work?
The Inflation Reduction Act and the investment in the IRS that comes with it is really an investment in developing our workforce, which is going to help us to be able to better serve taxpayers and better work on compliance issues. The way that I think we might see JSITE fitting into that is we are working to identify issues that we need to focus on and that we want taxpayers to be aware of. And so being able to say these are the issues that are going on right now enables us to determine what is the most effective way to promote voluntary compliance.
Does the team look at social media at all when you guys are trying to determine what might be an emerging issue?
Yeah, so social media certainly plays a role in the spread of issues and transactions and things along those lines, and has made it easier for taxpayers to become perhaps aware of an idea that might be out there. And I think we recognize that sometimes on the internet, it's difficult to know if what you're reading about is authentic or correct. And so we definitely, as an IRS, are paying attention to what is out there, what is being shared out in the public in terms of the spread of issues. And I think that we want to make sure that as best as we can, one of our goals is to tell the public what we are seeing. And just like we did with the Dirty Dozen, put out information about transactions that we have observed that people should think about as they decide how to manage their transactions, some of which could be spreading around on social media. I think that's a fair assessment.
That was Benjamin Swartz and Holly Porter with the IRS. And that's it for today's episode of Talking Tax. You can find up-to-the-minute news on the latest tax and accounting developments at our website, news.bloombergtax.com. That website, once again, is news.bloombergtax.com. Today's Talking Tax was produced by myself, Naomi Jagoda, and David Schultz. Rachel Daigle is our editor. Our executive producer is Josh Block. From Washington, I'm Naomi Jagoda. Thanks for listening.
Those nine justices in Washington can be hard to keep track of. That's where we come in. On our podcast, Cases and Controversies, we give you a week-by-week accounting of the Supreme Court, the filings, the arguments, the opinions, and much, much more. Check in on Fridays with Bloomberg Law's Cases and Controversies to find out what's coming up on the horizon of the Supreme Court. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.